Please open to hymn number 182. 182. And if you would please turn to the third page of that hymn, you'll notice there on the bottom the passage from the Gospel of Luke, which is really the centerpiece of our college's mission and the inspiration for our college motto, One Thing Needful. Hear these words from the Gospel according to Luke. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Let's turn then back to the hymn 182 based on this encounter at Bethany, and we will sing verses 1 and 3. At this time, I'd like all of the female students to stand. Now, if the dream of the founders of Bethany Lutheran College had remained intact, this is what the student population at Bethany would look like today. Only women. You may sit down. When the school was founded in 1911, that first class that came here was all women. It was the large building over here was intended to be what was called Bethany Lutheran College, Bethany Ladies Seminary, a finishing school for Lutheran women where they could receive an education in God's Word, in useful arts for the home and the church, and be prepared, hopefully, for many, in many cases, I think the dream was that a lot of them would become wives in parsonages. It was an interesting dream, and sometime when you're standing up in the top floor of the library looking out over the valley, if you look down into the valley, you'll see a church down there with two steeples. That's Emmanuel Lutheran Congregation. And that congregation, the pastor there at that time, his name was Winter, Pastor Winter, was really the influential individual who saw to it that this property was procured up here on the hill as this school for women. It was his dream and his hope that as the school grew, it would perhaps have as many as 2,000 students. And that was an interesting dream. While the complexion of the school has certainly changed, the goals, that idea of the deep learning at Jesus' feet being the center of the college remains the same. I'd like for us to sing one more verse of that hymn. Just one. Verse number five, Wisdom's Fountain Ever Flowing. Of course, the first World War I came, the First World War, and things changed. The climate in our country changed about education and about what the family should look like. The ladies' college did not flourish, and there were never more than 50 students on the campus for those years that the college existed. That building was never finished. The walls were not painted. Some of the walls in the upper floors were never plastered. There was a large foundation out here for a building for the fine arts. The foundation was laid. In fact, there's a stone between here and the chapel, between here and the library, with a picture of what the building was supposed to look like. The stone that doesn't have water coming out of it, and that is a remnant of that foundation. Then, in 1927, it happened. Most of the population of the girls who were here came from the Missouri Synod and the Wisconsin Synod. There was also another little Lutheran group that was involved on the scene in American Lutheranism at that time, a very small group that was a leftover from the Norwegian Lutheran Synod, and they had very few pastors, a handful of congregations, and they had no institution of higher learning. And they had no reason really to buy one. There wasn't a lot of extra money in the bank, but partly because they were Norwegian and stubborn, they decided they needed a place for their young men and women to go and study, especially because there was a need, they felt, for young men and women to receive a university education where the church was very present there with its theology to steady and determine and be a rudder to guide their studies. So Bethany Lutheran College then was purchased by what we today call the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and they instituted here a two-year college, a junior college, and also a high school department, a residential high school, so students could come from those farming communities and have a high school experience here. And I would like to see the hands, if there are any, of people who attended the high school at Bethany. Are there any of those? Yeah, there's a couple. If you want to find out what life was like here in the high school days, you should talk to them. That part of the school stayed here until 1969. In the meantime, after the Second World War in 1947, a seminary was started here specifically for the training of men to be pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. So after the school closed in 1969, it was completely dedicated to the work of being a junior college. And the initial president, or probably the most, not the initial president, but a president who gave a really profound shape to what Bethany was about, was a man by the name of Dr. Sigurd Christian Ylvisaker. We have a building named in his honor. And he thought the school needed a song. And so what he did is he had one of his English professors write the words that we're about to sing, and then he wrote the melody to the Bethany song. And we're going to join in singing that now, and I'd invite you to sing it in parts if you're comfortable. And we should stand for this. And people have been singing that for many years. You see, you'll note 1933 was probably close to the date when that became a part of the Bethany experience. So that song and that first hymn that we sang, there's one other piece of music, hymn number 593. That for many years has been an important part of the Danish-Norwegian devotional tradition, "On My Heart Imprint Thine Image," used as a bedtime prayer by many, and was also traditionally sung as a concluding hymn to the Lenten services in many of our congregations. And when Dr. Alfred Fremder was here, in fact, you can flip ahead to number 598, as the choir director, he thought it would be wonderful if the choir had a closing anthem. And since that text and that tune were already very well embedded in the tradition, I believe he chose very wisely then in making this choral arrangement that's very, very thick. You see it's in 8, sometimes 9 parts. Sounds a lot like an organ playing. And the sopranos always enjoy it because they have those lovely high notes. But the text is a part of a very, very long hymn on our Lord's Passion. And what this brings to mind, of course, you remember written above Christ on the cross, the King of the Jews in several languages. And so what we pray in this prayer is that written above that cross in our own hearts is not just that, but that The superscription in our hearts above that cross would be, Jesus crucified for me is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation. And you see this, of course, not just here in the chapel where we're reminded of this, on this beautiful crucifix that we have on our altar cross, which, by the way, the altar cross and the candlesticks were built by one of the very first graduates of Bethany Lutheran College. His name was Gig Soli, a fine Norwegian-American gentleman. But you'll also see that corpus and that cross posted on our mission statement in the many buildings around the campus. Now, it's very, very easy to walk by that and not take the time to read it. But let's try and discipline ourselves at least once a week to take a minute by one of those mission statements and read it in a different building each week, so you can spread it out over the semester that way and take a tour of the college. But see that mission is the same. And even though we have changed significantly in size and scope and what the ladies are wearing today compared to what they'd wear in 1911, the heart of the college remains the same. And despite what we are pursuing as our different majors and what our goals as different divisions are for you as students, we still have, as our center purpose, the one thing that brings us together is that this is the place where we really want, together, by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word, to probe deeply into the presence of God there at the feet of Christ in Bethany. So let's conclude now by singing hymn number 593, and you can stand.